Enemy Radio.
Here we go, Enemy Radio, episode number 12. We're in Trinity College in the Fitzgerald building. I'm here with Astro Martin. It's the one we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Essentially, I came in here. What time did I come in here at?
Six.
About six. Six, half six. And it's half eight now. It's half eight on the 28th of July 2013. And Martin's just been walking me around all the science labs here in Trinity. We've been looking at fucking all sorts of crazy shit. So I'm going to upload all the photos I've taken, including me and him acting the bollocks and like a superhero cutout. And everything's held together with tinfoil in Trinity College. That's one thing I've decided tonight and fucking recognised. Everything's held together with tinfoil. And I've seen an ice cock sticking out of some sort of fucking crazy machine. But the building we're in at the moment is called the Surface and Interface Optics Group. I have all this written down, obviously. Otherwise known as the Surface Science Group. Jesus Christ. And apparently, this is like being back in school. I'm looking at all this shit that I've written down, and it's fucking incredible. Like four sheets of nonsense written down around here. We are in a room that holds an ultra-high vacuum chamber, otherwise known as a UHV, right? And Martin's basically going to explain what a UHV does. This is what Martin does basically for a living. Aside from DJing Thomas House and fucking drink with me on a Tuesday, this is what Martin does this week. He comes in here, plays with the ice cocks and tinfoil, and what does an ultra high vacuum chamber do, Martin?
It more or less gets the atmosphere inside the vacuum chamber to be similar to that of the moon. It's the same pressure regime.
Okay.
It's mainly just like hydrogen and whatever the hell you decide to later on let in and then try and pump away.
Okay, so the idea is you start with nothing. Yeah. You start with absolute void inside the chamber, yeah?
Yeah.
And then you can add in whatever atmospheric contents you want and see how they interfere with stuff that you put into that chamber.
Yeah, well, like, what I do is I take a piece of platinum.
Yeah.
And I put it in the ultra-high vacuum chamber.
Yeah.
And then I introduce some argon, but I ionize that argon, so I shoot argon ions at the platinum. And what that does, it just bashes this dirt that is on the top of it off. So I get it like atomically clean, so it's like platinum and nothing else.
Could I bring some records in here to get cleaned?
I think I'd be a bit too rough on them, Gar.
What about me Johnson?
No.
I couldn't clean me fucking flute in here, no. I couldn't stick me flute inside an ultra-high vacuum chamber and just get it spotless.
It would explode.
Oh, fuck, alright. We'll do that with Towner. We'll bring Towner in some night. We'll get him locked. We'll tell him there's a can of Dutch Gold inside the ultra-high vacuum chamber. And tell him the only way to get it out is to stick his flute inside it, then you can press the buttons. So you've shown me around all again. Like I said, I'm going to put pictures up on the site. You'll have to see some of this stuff. It's fucking insane. It looks like something left over from a fucking science fiction movie. There's cables everywhere. The place is fucking in bits with technology. It's quite fucking amazing, actually. But the whole building, I decided that the whole building smells like a hospital because they've got the like oak fucking glass boxes and display cases everywhere with all the old scientific instruments in it, and whatever fucking shit they coated those display boxes in with in the 30s, 40s and 50s, it fucking stinks, and the Matter Hospital smelled the exact same way. So it's a bit like going back in time for me. But essentially what we were talking about doing a show about a month ago where myself and Martin would talk about movies and the science of movies. Listen, you've all seen Mythbusters and fucking, there's been 1,000 other TV shows about like the science of fucking Star Trek and all this bullshit. But we said we'd come in and we'd sit down and we'd talk about a movie. And tonight we're going to talk about Ghostbusters, just because it's probably the greatest movie ever made. And we're going to talk about the science of Ghostbusters and what it would take, really. Well, I'm not going to talk about it. He's going to talk about it. I don't know fuck all about it. Martin's going to talk about basically what those proton packs are in a general way. He's not going to fucking blind us with science, hopefully. And we're going to have a little yap about that. We're going to play some music. We've already picked out some songs. We're in the lab at the moment. We were going to do this in the pub, and then we were going to do it in my house. And then Martin said, fuck it, we'll do it in the lab, and we'll get some cool pictures, and we'll make a little bit of an event out of it. So hopefully we'll be able to do a few more bits and pieces like this. But anyway, I wrote down, I have a sheet here about the proton pack in Ghostbusters. So listen, first things, Ghostbusters was made in 1984, right? I didn't know that, I just knew it was old. I was on Wikipedia today, I have a sheet of stuff I wrote down from Wikipedia. It was from 1984. And so I don't know if the technology you're working on today right? And I know it's not related to Ghostbusters as such, but the technology you're working on today, would that have been around in this form in 1984?
Yes.
Yes. So the equipment you're working on is probably fucking old. It just doesn't break down because
Just keeps going.
It just keeps going because there's nothing to break it down because it's vacuum. Right. This is mental. I'm looking at all my fucking shit and it's all fucking maths. Okay, so Ghostbusters, their main thing is to have the proton pack. Okay, proton pack is obviously what they use to kind of stun ghosts and hold them in place, and then they use the ghost trap to suck the ghost down into the trap itself. So what Wikipedia, the internet, tells us is that the writer said that the proton pack was a particle accelerator. Martin, what is a particle accelerator?
It more or less takes a charged particle. Is what they call, like CERN do it with protons, which have a positive charge.
Yeah.
And they just accelerate them to really high energies. Mm. But like CERN is using like tera electron volts, which in real terms, so it's a billion volts.
Amazing. But listen, here's the thing, right? If you charge, though, this is what I was thinking about today. If you charged up a particle to that whatever speed and power and shot it at me, right? Yeah. If there was a way of doing that, if you brought me into some machine in this building somewhere and say, "Gareth, stand there, hang on," and you press the button and it shot out a single particle at me at that speed, what would happen?
Single particle.
If it was right on top of it,
it'd interact with probably your skin and just cause like your skin to be weird.
Really, it wouldn't kill me. It wouldn't blow me up or anything.
Well, I've heard a story of a guy in Soviet Russia who put his head into he somehow managed to get his head into a positron beam.
Yeah.
And it just went straight through his head and he was fine.
He was fine.
But it burnt a hole in his head.
It burnt a hole in his head, but he was fine.
He lived.
Holy shit. Well, it wasn't fine, he lived. Okay, so if we did build one of these things and we charged up fucking whatever, millions of particles, and shot them out in a beam, I'm guessing the beam wouldn't look like what it looks like in Ghostbusters. Would you even be able to see it?
You actually would, because assume that it's a stream of protons, that's called a proton pack. They're just hydrogen, like the center of hydrogen atoms.
Yeah.
So as they shoot out, you'd actually see so they'd interact with the atmosphere and they'd take electrons off other atoms and other stuff in the atmosphere, and they'd return to like just being atomic hydrogen.
So the problem being,
and you'd actually see like a purple light of it.
Were the proton packs kind of red and purple with a white center, weren't they?
They were orange with like a purple.
They're like a hue around them. Yeah,
a purple stream around.
So. This is mind blowing. This is fucking. We're going into depth that nobody's ever delved into Ghostbusters before, for good reason as well. It's just meant to be fucking accepted. But so you're if you could shoot a fucking stream of protons out of, say, a wand. That's what they call the handle. It's called the neutrino wand in the movie. If you could shoot it out, the problem. What I'm taking from you is the problem wouldn't necessarily be getting it out there. It would be getting it to stay constant for any sort of distance and power. And that the minute it would kind of get out of its chamber, it starts interacting with the environment around it and losing its kind of ferocity as such.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to. This is probably known by guys in CERN, not by me.
Yeah.
But if you put a massive amount of energy into it, it might just it would slow down before it would stop being photons again, and then you might get a bit of range out of it if you're depending on the charge to do the interacting with it.
Well, they say in the movie that they're nuclear powered, isn't it? They're unlicensed nuclear reactors. So if we can assume that somehow, some way, they're carrying around a fucking nuclear reactor in the backpack to power the particle fucking accelerator. I mean, I don't know how much power a fucking tiny nuclear reactor would give out. So we should have got someone of the guys from CERN on the phone, man, for this, shouldn't we?
That'd be nice, actually.
You can do that. We'll do that next week. Just get some dude on the phone. So we're saying that as the backpack is called a particle accelerator, one of the largest particle accelerators in the world is called the Large Hadron Collider. Martin knows a little bit more about that. I just know that it's kind of a loop around the town that they throw fucking atoms at each other in different directions, hoping to see what happens. What in layman's terms, Martin, is the Large Hadron Collider, roughly and quickly?
It is a giant ring, and they send protons around clockwise and counterclockwise, and they cross over at two points, I think. And at those two points, they have a huge amount of detectors. All they do is they smash like 2 tera electron volts. I think it's 150 tera electron volts, with ridiculous amounts of energy. So they smash them, they get them going, and they smash head on, and they see what happens. They're trying to learn more about what the universe is like right after the Big Bang.
So that's the point of the Large Hadron Collider, that they're almost trying to create like a tiny, tiny Big Bang to see what the reaction is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's other stuff at CERN as well. There is one guy doing experiments on antimatter to see if antimatter behaves the same as matter.
Okay.
And there's a group that do radioactive stuff, that they go, you want radioactive zinc.
Yeah.
And they can give you radioactive zinc, and you do some shit with it there, and you see what happens.
Alright, so we're one step closer to fucking superheroes.
Yeah.
If they can just make anything radioactive. That's amazing. We're getting there. So we're going to talk about Ghostbusters a little bit more in a little bit. We're going to play a song first. We're going to play a song by a band called The Kings of Nothing. It's called Drive All Night. And unfortunately, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, the lead singer from The Kings of Nothing, his name is Thor. And he took his own life a while ago. Jumped off a bridge in Vermont, I believe. And obviously a terrible fucking shame. But this is called Drive All Night by The Kings of Nothing. And we'll be back in a minute. Drive All Night by The Kings of Nothing. That's off the album Fight Songs for Fuck-Ups, that Martin actually got a hold of a couple of vinyl copies of it a few weeks ago. He got one for himself and one for me. But thank you, man.
Very, very good.
Okay, so we're talking about fucking particle accelerators. The easiest way to explain particle accelerators that I found online, again, I'm no fucking scientist, I'm just a dickhead, and that there's two different kinds of particle accelerators. And one's called an electrostatic, and one's called an oscillating it's two electromagnetic fields to propel charged particles. And one's electrostatic and one's oscillating. And electrostatic is used in CRT tubes and old TVs. So have you ever smashed up an old television, or you've seen an old television getting smashed up? You've got the glass kind of bulb at the front of it. And that's the resolution screen, the optical screen. But you'll see at the back of it, it kind of goes out into a point. And that's called a CRT tube, a cathode ray tube at the back of it. And that's just like a mini kind of a home version of what we're talking about. So basically, if you were smart like Martin, you could build a proton pack out of an old television. That's what that means.
Yeah, actually,
yeah,
you could.
Yeah. See? Problem solved. Fucking fixing all the problems one at a time. We're talking about Ghostbusters. So obviously, there was two main movies. It's Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2. They've been in talks about doing Ghostbusters 3 for fucking years. And apparently the plan was to have a new Ghostbusters team and to bring in the old guys, to bring in Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and all those guys, to have those as the trainers for the new team. But they've been working on it for so long now, I don't know whether it's going to happen. Now, Dan Aykroyd came out, I think it was last year, and said that basically the script was 99% done, and they kind of made it with the idea of Bill Murray kind of coming back, because he was always the wild card. He said he didn't want to do it, he had no interest in doing it. He liked doing it back then, he wasn't mad on the second one, but he enjoyed the process. But he's moved on now. He's been obviously doing movies like The Life Aquatic and The Royal Tenenbaums for so long. He's gone into the arty farty kind of fucking film world. He's left mainstream media behind and such. But now he's come out apparently and said that he's interested in it. If the script is good enough, he'll get involved in it, because it doesn't look like it's going to be a full schedule of filming. They're making, I mean, realistically, Ghostbusters 3 is going to be a big fucking event. You know, it's going to be like a Hollywood movie. Let's be realistic about it. But it looks like it could be on the cusp of getting done. And I was only thinking the other day that if you remember correctly, back in, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, there was two Ghostbusters cartoons. There was the real Ghostbusters, and that was the one based on the movie. And there was one just called The Ghostbusters, and for some reason they had a talking gorilla, and they had a roller coaster through a haunted cave or something like that, and that's where they got their gear from. But that got me thinking about something I read years ago, where Dan Aykroyd's a fucking UFO nut and a fucking conspiracy theory mentalist. Like, he's crazy into paranormal stuff. But apparently when they were first writing the script for Ghostbusters, the idea was that they were almost like magicians, that they used magic wands. This is fucked up. They used magic wands to dispel ghosts and demons while travelling through different dimensions. That was the original idea behind Ghostbusters. I don't even know whether it was supposed to be called Ghostbusters at the start. But the idea was that they went from dimension to dimension with their magic wands, casting spells and killing demons and ghosts. And that eventually evolved into the Ghostbusters that we kind of know and love today. I think the main reason for it was budgetary constraints. That they wanted to go down a more kind of technology based route, almost like what they done with the kind of the Batman movies, where they just gave him loads of gadgets. I mean, that's what it's like in the comics, but they went overboard with the gadgets to show kind of how smart Batman is. That's what they done with Ghostbusters. They went overboard with the gadgets to show these guys are almost paranormal in their own kind of methodology of creating new fucking technologies and shit like that. But what else were we talking about? We were talking about other movies and TV shows that have like a fucking science fiction feel to them. And we're basically going to do like a quick run through of some of the main points of some movies and some TV shows. And we have a list here. We've got Blade Runner, we've got Robocop, we've got Pacific Rim, we've got Star Trek, and we've got Star Wars, and whatever else we can think of along the way. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Martin about some of the key points to deal with some of these movies. So let's get moving on the first one. Blade Runner is obviously, its main kind of concept behind it is cloning, right? Martin.
Yes.
You think cloning can happen?
It has happened. We have Dolly the Sheep.
Dolly the Sheep. Did anybody ever ride Dolly the Sheep? No? Mm. Nobody ever had sex with Dolly? See what happened?
No.
No? Fuck, that's bullshit. That's Blade, that could be how Blade Runner started. Probably. Someone had sex with Dolly the Sheep. So, fucking, obviously the whole deal is that cloning's been around for a while now. And what you were saying earlier, it's more of a moral issue.
Yeah, it's like it is just morals. It's like, well, when does that cloning process become, you're now organs for me,
just a thing?
Yeah,
that's they're growing fucking ears on the back of mice and shit like that now, aren't they? That's obviously not cloning, but it's like whatever, genetic manipulation. But one of the things about fucking cloning obviously would be that if you're going to clone a human from scratch, then you can get into the genetic material, and if you've kind of earmarked certain diseases and genetic malfunctions, and you can remove them, you can create the perfect human. But would it be human because it came out of a fucking test tube? Is that the problem? Is what makes us human the fact that we are flawed and we do have things wrong with us?
It is when does it become an experiment, when does it become a person, and different people say different things and governments will say different things.
There has to be. Listen, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I guarantee you, I put cash money, not that I have any, but if I had cash money, I put fucking money down that there's some fucking clones walking around right now. There's clones, it has to be clones made in basements of fucking labs and government institutes. The best thing to me would be trying to cross a hippo with a spider or something like that, if you're able to do that.
It'd be very hard to do. It isn't just getting a hippo to have sex with a spider.
Why not? You're a scientist. This is bullshit.
I'm a physicist.
The future, man. Yeah, but you're a scientist. You're a physicist. So I don't give a fuck, man. Magic up some fucking neutrino ones that'll fucking crossbreed a hippo with a spider with a fucking shark's face. That's terror. That's fucking
ultimate terror,
isn't it? Ultimate fucking terror. I'd be mad into that. Some horns and stuff. Oh, be all over that. Fucking talking about cloning. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
If they could get, I know you're a physicist, something just turned on. We're not going to die, are we?
No, that's just the
what air. The fuck just turned on?
That's the compressor in the lab.
What does the compressor in the lab do?
It makes compressed air.
Oh yeah, to power what?
To power a valve.
A valve to deal with the ultra high vacuum.
Yeah, it just
fucking
opens and closes the valve.
Sweet Jesus. Is any of those, do they explode? Could they explode?
They'd more implode.
Implode?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fucking amazing. We definitely need Towner up here. We need to let Towner loose up here. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Jurassic Park. Do you reckon if we could get a hold of some genetic material from a dinosaur, could they? You need a fucking, it's not like you just get DNA. It's like this thing with Bigfoot at the moment, where they're trying to get Bigfoot DNA, and they found some shit that's whatever, they call them whatever, novel hominid fucking DNA, but they don't have enough that they can just lash in the test tube and whatever, turn the tap on and it'll grow. I would assume with stuff like cloning and genetic manipulation, you have to have a serious amount of fucking kind of base matter to begin with.
I assume so.
I mean, you couldn't just, if you had one strand of DNA and you had a way of making that DNA, whatever, fucking replicate and grow, does it automatically know which direction to fucking build it? You got a hold of Bigfoot's toenail clipping. You couldn't just throw it in a fucking jar, do your bit, and then it'll grow a Bigfoot out of that toenail clipping. I don't think it works like that,
no,
does
it?
Because I know they have a thing called the gene bank, that when they do have they do DNA samples, and I'm sure you've seen it, you are science personified, but it just looks like a fucking a colour chart. You go in, you get some Dulux paint that looks like a colour chart, and basically what they do is when they scan it and they get the DNA out of it, it matches it to a gene bank, and it comes back saying whatever fox, or fucking monkey, or whatever the fuck it comes back as saying. So I think the big thing is with the going back to Bigfoot is that when they get something that comes back as not being on record within the gene bank, the gene bank is an international thing where things are getting the DNA is getting stored all the time, and when it comes back saying unknown, that makes people kind of shit themselves, because they thought they had everything referenced and within this bank. But anyway, we're getting away from the point. Talking about everything goes to Bigfoot in the end. Everything's squatchy. So we talked about Blade Runner cloning. You reckon it's a goer?
Yeah.
You reckon that's a goer? Well, it is a goer. They've done it already. So I'm saying that they have some fucking cloned humans walking around. Maybe the president has some clones or some shit like that. They just send them out to do the important shit. Look at fucking Barack Obama. You can't read the newspaper without being in a different country every day. Do you know what I mean? If we go on holidays, if we go to Spain with bollocks for a day after flying, and he has to go out, like, land and, like, look after the country in a different country, there has to be about 10 Barack Obamas doing the rounds.
Or you could just not fly Ryanair.
Jets don't fly Ryanair. Just get fly a real plane. Not fucking one made out of tinfoil. Not made out of shit like this. That's everywhere. Just tinfoil everywhere. It's like fucking Christmas in my gaff. It's just tinfoil everywhere. Man, I want the sandwich. In the tinfoil in the fridge. It's just fucking tinfoil everywhere. Boxes of shit. What's this?
It's a box of gloves.
It's just a box of gloves. What's its logo? That's fucking mad weird. It's like someone making the fucking get away from me Satan.
Yeah.
Fucking crucifix sign with their hands. In fact, I'm taking a picture of that right now while we're recording. But I took some fantastic fucking photos today. I'm going to lash them up. You have to say, this logo's gone straight up. It's like Demon Be Gone. It's basically the logo for these gloves. So next one. RoboCop. Right? Also, to put it in context, RoboCop cost $18 million to make, and Ghostbusters cost $30 million to make, right? I don't see that much of a big difference. I know Ghostbusters had more computer effects would be the wrong fucking thing, but special effects had more special effects in it. But, like, you think about the scale of it. RoboCop was pretty large in scale, like in the fact that they were driving around cities and they had whole fucking like warehouses and sets made out. But, like, 18 fucking million doesn't sound like a lot of money to put into a movie to make.
Well, they did use the old mill like three times in it.
Did they?
And that office like three or four times as well.
The fuck, I always remember the bit where they're making the drugs. What's the bit you hate where he looks through a wall?
Oh, where he's in the fucking city hall and just sees the heat through the wall.
Is that the one where he bursts through the wall and grabs him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that bit's fucking stupid. It's fucking dumb as fuck. Yeah. Whatever about like you're saying, like thermal fucking vision, what they call FLIR cameras now. Whatever about that. But like actual X-ray vision, just looking through fucking walls, negative. And isn't there a bit where he does some sort of ricochet shot with the gun? Like he maps out the trajectory of the bullet and kills a dude from like fucking that's behind him or something. He just shoots into a corner, bing, 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 and kills the dude. Fucking yeah, RoboCop was amazing, but it was fucking shit. It was shitly amazing. Pacific Rim, a new one. So. We didn't do RoboCop. Cybernetics, Martin.
Getting the human brain to control stuff, it's...
They've kind of done that a little bit, haven't they?
If you think about moving your fingers, the blood goes to your brain,
yeah.
Like, as if you were moving your fingers. So mm-hmm. Getting a brain to just not... Probably getting a brain to not shit itself, and it goes, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. The nerves are basically... Run by, well, I know the body has an electric current anyway, so you'd be talking about finding a way, which I'm sure they have already, for computers to read that kind of current and jolt that runs from your brain, that your brain's putting out to control, so your arms or your legs, and instead of having arms and legs, having like robot arms and legs. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what you're talking about. It's the brain you need more than anything else, I'm guessing.
Because
central nervous system, maybe.
Yeah, because you can always make the hand. You can make, like, everyone's seen like a video where there's like a hand.
Yeah, robot hand.
A hand that
Nintendo looks, Power Glove, man.
A hand that looks similar.
Yeah. So, like,
getting the brain to control it would be the hard thing.
I suppose the problem is the kind of fucking.
Finicky,
the small movements and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, like fucking make robot hand, crush can, yeah, amazing. But then you got to have a piss, and you just pop your flute off. Like that's the problem. You got to wipe your arse and just like fist yourself with a fucking robot hand because you just have no like small control.
Yeah,
you don't even know you've got because you're no feeling in it. You don't even know you have toilet paper, so you're just smudging shite all over your arse with your robot hand, and then it corrodes your robot hand, gets into the circuits, and you've got a big shit robot hand. And those scientists want to fix your robot hand because it's covered in shit, and you can't wash it because you can't get it. It can't get it wet. That's the problem. If you're half robot, if you're like a cyborg, you can't go out in the rain. This is the big fucking problem. And if you do go out in the rain, you rust because now they can't. They're not going to put stainless steel on you. It's too expensive. Pacific Rim. We're talking about got two big points within Pacific Rim, right? And one is giant robots and one is like interdimensional rifts. We're not going to get into the monsters end of it. So the monsters we already covered with cloning. Have you seen Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
Thank fuck, man. I just ruined it. I just ruined it for everybody. I was like, yeah, interdimensional rifts. Are they cloning? Yeah, see the monsters, they're clones. I think I ruined it last week anyway when I watched it. It's fantastic.
I want to see it again.
Yeah,
that's how good it is.
I didn't go and see it in 3D because I don't like 3D movies.
I actually think it'd be really good in 3D.
Well, I think
could be really good.
It could be, but what I read is that the 3D was done afterwards. It wasn't filmed in 3D. It was done in post.
Well, it'd be just like the bits of the robots and the aliens doing weird shit. That'd be good. It'd be like, oh, it's a chair that's slightly further back.
Yeah. My problem with 3D movies is that for some reason it seems to fuck with the frame rate to me, that when I'm watching them and I get just something fast happening, I just lose control over it. I can't focus on it. It's just like a big flutter of movement in front of me. Like, some of it looks cool, but it takes away that movie sheen to me, and it makes everything look a little bit more kind of rough and sharper. It doesn't have that softness that movies have. And everything looks just kind of like the first time you see HDTV, like fucking my Elwin has it. I don't have HDTV, I can't afford it. My Elwin has it. Well, my dad has it for watching shite documentaries about lions and tigers. And I remember the first time we went over and they turned it on and they had the HDTV on, and like he was watching David Attenborough or something like that. And I was like, fuck my life. I can see like the fucking warts on that tiger's arse. Like, you can see every fucking detail. But that's what 3D movies look like to me. When they get into the 3D bit of it, it just looks like real sharp. Like, they've cut the characters out and they're just kind of throwing them towards you digitally. That kind of gets on my tits. So, giant robots, Martin, could they build literally giant... I'm not going to talk about the control methods of that fucking... the drift where they... that's fucking stupid. But, that's just like X Machina stuff that they try and fucking glue some teams together. Like, oh, they'll have to have some humans who actually care about each other in the head of this fucking robot. And that's stupid anyway. They never put the pilots in the fucking head. They put them right in the middle of it, like the most protected part of it, wouldn't they?
Probably.
Like, that had to be.
If they're only as good as their pilots, it's like, exactly. In case you and.
Like, you don't put the fucking the driver of a tank fucking, you know what I mean, sticking out the front of it.
Yeah, actually, they do.
Do they?
He's like sitting in the front.
Oh yeah, I know he's got the fucking hatch there, but he's not like hanging off the fucking cannon steering it, you know what I mean? Like, he's not in the most obvious part of it to get fucking punched. He's in the bulkiest, fucking hardest, most protected part of it. You know, he's got his hatch to escape and all that shit. But I've never seen in any movie, I've never seen it, a tank driver. Is it a driver or a pilot? It'd be a driver,
yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's a driver.
I've never seen one escape through the hatch. I've only seen people throw grenades through the hatch.
But he's got his own like separate hatch down the front, and the rest of them have like they're in the turret thing.
But the only reason for hatches on tanks is for dudes in movies to throw grenades into them. That's the only reason they put them on there. The real ones even have that. They have to.
Yes, they do.
Right, interdimensional rifts.
If you subscribe to the Many Worlds theory,
I do.
Right, then yes, it's possible. We haven't found any of it yet.
But this is the problem with the Many Worlds theory, isn't it? Is that fucking obviously it's a theory, but everything's taken on the assumption that
there is infinite
fucking worlds for every fucking action, you know. I think I've talked about this before on the show, where obviously there'll be a world where I'm holding a pen in my left hand at the moment, and there will be a world to represent the fact that I'm holding it in my right hand, and the fact that I'm holding it 1 centimeter down, that I'm holding it sideways, that I'm holding it upside down. In fact, by my very actions at the moment in creating infinite fucking spin off worlds like that, there's one where I didn't make a bollocks of it. There's one where I made a bigger bollocks of it. There's one where that was a grenade. And there's one where Martin slapped me. So, that's the idea behind that. Monsters, whatever. It's monsters, really, isn't it? You don't really... You know, nobody ever gets into the science of monsters, do they?
Yeah, it's just...
It's just a monster. It's just a thing.
A different world where a dinosaur did stand and us were a fucking rat.
That's it. What if you went to a world where it was like there was no animals and you just let like my dog loose on it? Would he be like fucking go down in legend as being this mythical fucking beast that savaged people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, right, let's play another song and then we can come back to some other shit, because we're talking nonsense now for half an hour and I need a smoke and I'm in science. I'm within science at this moment. I can't smoke here. So what's next? We're going to play a Coffin Cat song off the first album, off Coffin Cats. It's called Graveyard Tree. And Coffcat's just finished recording their latest album, apparently. And apparently there's a song in there dedicated to my mate Jason Lockwood, who took his life also a while ago. So I will be buying that album. Skeleton Crew on the same label as Coffcat's, which is a fucking interesting one. I met the guys last year, 2 3 years ago, when they played in the Grand Social. We put that gig on for them, and Skeleton Crew playing with them. They're all lovely fellas, Eric and fucking Vic. Lovely guys. But anyway, this is Coffin Cats Graveyard Tree off their first album, Coffin Cats. See you in a minute. My baby's in the graveyard, she's waiting for me up there, thinking I'm a real hot, digging out the graveyard. Graveyard Tree off their first album, self-titled, Coffin Cats. So we've talked about Blade Runner, we talked a little bit about Ghostbusters, we talked about RoboCop, we've talked about Pacific Rim, so now we're into the good stuff, we're into Star Trek. Right, okay. Fucking warp speed fucking 10 or whatever the fuck they say in Star Trek, warp factor 20 million. Apparently their engines are powered by antimatter. Yeah. Martin, is it doable?
Antimatter exists, and if they could harvest the energy that is made from antimatter, it is the densest power of, it's like everything that is made out of, if you just antimatter hits it, it turns into pure energy. Hmm. So if you could harvest it, yep, it is
unlimited power as such.
That'd be
close to unlimited anyway. Yeah. As much as if you've got enough antimatter to throw at stuff, you've got fucking as much power as you need, will you have antimatter?
Yeah.
Basically, okay. And where does antimatter come from?
Well, currently the only place I know is, like, matter is made out of, like, protons,
yep,
neutrons, and electrons. And antimatter is made out of the anti of those particles.
Okay.
So that is, like, anti-protons, mm, anti-neutrons, and positrons.
And can they be created in a lab?
Or
is it naturally occurring?
Well, that's partly what CERN are trying to do, is figure out where, because people have done experiments ago. There should be, like, when, like, a gamma ray bursts, mm, when, like, one of those,
like, where the Hulk came from.
Yeah.
Like, what, so someone's trying to make the Hulk in Switzerland.
Well, like, they've done experiments, and, like, they see when, like, a proton, when, like, a gamma ray burst, and that turns into, like, matter.
Yeah.
It will turn into, like, a proton and an anti-proton.
All right. So, they can separate them, or they're trying to figure out if they can separate them, and okay.
So, just...
I get you. Kind of. Okay, this is the... We talked a little bit about this earlier. Phasers, they're weapons of choice in Star Trek. Well, the weapons of choice for the Federation. It is the Federation. You know, yeah. Your Federations are fucking planets or whatever. Phasers. What does a phaser shoot? I mean, it rhymes with laser. So, is that what it's supposed to shoot? Lasers?
Yeah, if it was phaser, it'd just be... Well, lasers and acronyms, it's like light emitted by spontaneous or stimulated emission of radiation. So phaser, yeah. whatever the P stands for, yeah. that's what it probably shoots.
Pissy.
Yeah.
Well, pissy something. Something well, something radiation. Pissy radiation. Radiation well, from piss. Well, gamma radiation. Hulk's piss. Hulk's piss. They shoot out Hulk's piss. No.
Well, go ahead. Well, anyway, we'll assume it's a laser weapon.
Yeah.
So... Set phasers is done.
Yeah, that's
probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I mean, how do you shoot a laser at somebody that stuns them?
It makes them feel uncomfortably warm, maybe.
Yeah, like,
my elbow is warm. Yeah. I feel awful.
I feel weird. Like, yeah, the stun itself is like a response to impact.
Yeah, it's like getting cracked in the face. You go, what the fuck's going on?
Exactly. So, like set phasers to stun. Like, you'd be better. Like, it would make more sense to like hit them in the head with the phaser. You yeah. know what I mean? To just try and knock them out. Like using the phaser as a bludgeoning weapon, that would be set phaser to stun. Just don't shoot them and just fucking belt them in the fucking Chevy Chase with a bonk. That's stun.
Unless they got some weird frequency that makes your brain vibrate and just like hits off your
like
head.
A brown note.
Yeah,
that makes you shit yourself. That'd be fucking much better. Set phasers to shit themselves, like fucking oh, con. Seriously, that'd be fucking like oh man, you wouldn't want to do that when the old Klingons are around. Imagine what their door is like. Klingon shy from eating maggots and fucking what's it called? Gawk. I'm not that much of a fucking Trekkie. I wish I was. I like Star Trek. There's some like Shane in TH. He's a fucking mega Trekkie. Like he's ridiculous. He's got an iPad and he's got a skin for the iPad that looks like the fucking all the next generation computer systems and all. He's like uber fucking nerd. For Star Trek, he hates Star Wars. Why do they hate each other?
I don't know.
I like both of them. I'm not going to say I like both of them equally. Like, I'm more of a Star Wars man, but I thoroughly enjoy Star Trek. They're different things. Star Wars is like, they're epic movies, you know what I mean? Like, Star Trek's a TV show. I know they made movies, but like, they were just long fucking episodes of the TV shows. It's a different, like a serialized soap opera basically set in space, versus like
epic movies.
Epic good versus evil, fucking with a little bit of magic kind of such thrown into it. Like, we're ignoring the last three Star Wars movies. They don't count. They do not count. We're not into this fucking mega Flurian or whatever the fuck they use to explain the Force. Like, that's no interest. The Force is magic. It's just a thing that's everywhere. Let's just leave it at that. We don't need to know where the fucking Force comes from. So we're saying that phasers, shooting lasers, grand.
Yeah.
Right? Someday we'll get to the point where you're going, fucking zap, have a bit of that. What about, we'll get to that in a minute. What about fucking the stone? We're saying that's bullshit. And we're saying that fucking like antimatter, if you could harvest it and control it enough, you would have enough power to power a fucking starship.
Yeah.
And fucking travel through space. What about this fucking warp factor? Fucking annoying, traveling faster than speed of light.
Faster than light travel hasn't been proven properly yet. Even like that neutrino, that experiment in Italy / CERN, there was a loose connection. So like, everyone heard about particles faster than light. I know the deal with people going, Martin, what's it like with science being broken now?
Yeah,
but it was a loose connection.
It was just a gammy fucking
connection,
a gammy scarred cable.
Yeah, and they made the head of that experiment step down because the media went, oh my god, science is broken. And
really?
he went listen guys, we can't find what's wrong. Check our shit. He did it the right way and got fired.
So it's just bogey report back from the machine that said it went over a certain speed.
Okay.
Interesting. So basically we're not necessarily running out of time. We've got 15 minutes left on the show. We've only played two songs. I know people aren't necessarily listening to this show for songs, but fucking gives us a break, gets me a chance to get some fucking nicotine into myself and for Martin to have a piss. So what we're going to do, we've done Star Trek, we're going to play one more song, and we're going to come back, we're going to do Star Wars, and we want to hit off a couple of things in Star Wars. I just remembered one that I'm writing it down here now because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we never wrote it down earlier. We've been wandering around here for like fucking 3 or 4 hours talking show you and the been writing stuff down now randomly in between fucking show breaks. We're finding more and more gear, so we're gonna do this a couple more times anyway. This one's a little bit off the cuff. Me and him have talked about it for fucking hours on end in the pub, but we never actually wrote it down. So when we came to actually doing it, was like, shit, what the fuck did we talk about a month ago? So let's play another song. We're gonna play Devil's Brigade, which is a side project of Matt Freeman from Rancid. It's this kind of punky psychobilly slash fucking rockabilly type of thing, and it's a song called Darlene. What's that album called? It's just Devil's Brigade. Yep. Devil's Brigade, self-titled. All right,
self-titled.
Because I know one of the songs on that is called Vampire Girl, and he put that on one of those Give Him the Boot compilations fucking years ago. It was his experiment. And I was talking to Matt at the Devil's Brigade gig, and he learned double bass just for this project. Like, he's an amazing bassist, but he always played electric bass, like straight bass. And he had an interest in psychobilly because of the double bass element of it. And basically when they recorded this album, he recorded it all on straight bass, and then he went off for a couple of months and he learned how to play double bass. Then he went back into the studio and he laid down all the double bass stuff onto the fucking album. So it was done really weird, but it sounds really good. The album sounds great. I think did Tim produce it? He was involved in it, wasn't he? Recorded and produced it.
I think he was on one of the songs as well.
He was on one of them. They got like I know on tour they got the drummer from X, I think, on the original recordings and the first little tour they done. I don't know who the fuck he had playing with him.
The
European tour. He had some guys from other bands, but I can't remember their names.
I got one of them to sign my ticket when I was there, because that was the first gig I'd been to in like 4 years.
Yeah, that was a good gig actually. It was fun. So yeah, let's play the song. This is Devil's Brigade, a song called Darlene off their self-titled fucking album, Devil's Brigade. I'm back in a second. Devil's Brigade with Darlene off their self-titled first album, obviously called Devil's Brigade. So while that song was playing, me and Martin played around with a laser and he nearly burnt the finger off. Some sort of high-powered fucking, was it like 4 or 5 chambers that the laser gets bounced around in?
Yeah.
And I have a video of it that will be part of the podcast as well, so you get to see Martin's finger basically explode in green light. And did it hurt?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So there you go, phasers. We nearly have one. Nearly. So we're going to talk about Star Wars. Okay, so obviously the main thing about the first Star Wars movie is the creation of the Death Star. Alright, so we talked a little bit about this earlier off mic. Martin, could you create a Death Star? Could you create a planet, a man-made planet, or a moon in this case? Could you create one that would be self-sufficient and self-powered enough that it could blow up other planets?
I don't know if the other planet's going to be the hard thing.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. Like, building it, if you're willing to piss money at it,
yeah,
you can build whatever the hell you want.
So you'd have to build it in space, obviously.
You'd have to build it in space, because just propelling it up would probably be like more.
How do you get those materials into space in the first place? I suppose you just build like the space equivalent of like a Hercules fucking plane or something.
Yeah, just fly it up.
Yeah. How did they build the International Space Station? They brought up in
parts.
It came up with like fucking modules, didn't it?
Yeah, it came up on the shuttle, and you just strap shit to a rocket and go,
Isn't that out of date already, apparently?
Probably.
Like fucking, when did that go up? I don't know anything about fucking actual, I know more about fake fucking space shit than I know about real space. Like surrounded by space, like fucking, like amazing fucking knowledge at my hand at all times via the internet. All I need to do is fucking learn a little bit about buy a fucking telescope. And I can like actually look at stars. No interest. Is that Star Trek on? Yeah, lash that on. Lash on Deep Space Nine. You know what I mean? The Ferengi are deadly. You know what I mean? No interest in real, actual fucking like astronomy. Like, I always say astrology. You know that? When somebody's talking about stars, oh man, astrology is amazing. And they look at me really weird. Astronomy. So you reckon Death Star is doable?
Doable. It'll cost a heap.
It'll cost obviously a fortune.
And powering it probably nuclear or antimatter.
Yeah, antimatter, there you go, sorted. We couldn't remember. Now, Endor, where the Ewoks are, is the Death Star orbiting Endor, or is Endor a moon of the fucking, it couldn't be a moon of the Death Star because it's man made, really, could it? Yeah. Could you put something into orbit around something? I know you could put something into orbit. Like, so, say, whatever, fucking Endor is a planet. I know it's a new one, but let's say it's a planet, right? What's the fucking difference? It's got things running around on it. It's a big ball with 40 creatures and a forest. So, it's got that there. I'm assuming it would be easier to put Death Star into orbit around Endor than it would be to put Endor in orbit around the Death Star. How do you like?
Yeah, I'd say orbit around Endor, because
it has to be, really.
Yeah, otherwise you're just making something heavier than a planet, heavier instead of something that is solid.
Yeah.
And you've got corridors inside the Death Star. And
exactly, so its mass isn't going to be fucking equal to Endor, because it's going to be basically hollow.
They're probably going to make it out of fancy, lightweight stuff, so it's slightly cheaper.
Yeah, they're not going to make it out of lead, are they?
No,
they're
made out of carbon fibre and titanium. And
whatever Darth Vader's face is made of, basically. Shiny plastic, yeah. Death Star is made out of shiny plastic. Yeah, everything was shiny really in Star Wars, wasn't it? There was no real kind of matte finishes on anything. Everything was just high gloss. The fucking stormtroopers running around like fucking, you're blinding me. Everything looked like it came out of IKEA. There's nothing matte in IKEA either. It's all fucking gloss. So we're saying that maybe Endor's gravity would be affected
by it, because Earth is like much, much bigger than the moon, and the moon affects us.
Yeah.
Tides. If it vanished, we'd know about it really quick.
What I always kind of got me tits a little bit was that, why didn't they just build, like, they got Endor there, yeah? It's a perfectly good planet. Fine. They can breed it. Whatever. Everyone's cool. Why didn't they just lash a fucking a big cannon on Endor and just, like, shoot other planets from Endor instead of having to build a whole new planet / moon?
Not range on the big motherfucking cannon where you can just move the Death Star around.
Yeah, just spin it around like a fucking, like the whole planet is its targeting platform. Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the fuck that says. What does that say? Life? Fuck, I don't know what that says. Anyway, moving on. Lightsabers. I can't read my own writing. I'll remember in a minute.
Lightsabers. Plasma, maybe?
Yeah, didn't they explain it in one of the shitty ones where it's like a crystal where like energy gets focused through the crystal, but depending on the size of the crystal and what shape the crystal is, that denotes what size the actual blade, I was doing fingers there for captions and such, comma fingers, bunny fingers, that denotes what size that the blade's going to be and what its colour is and what frequency it operates at. So you need like some sort of power source shooting through this particular crazy crystal, and that's where you get your fucking lightsaber from. I think that's what they so I don't think there's plasma involved. I think it is actual light, like hard light. I know, yeah. I know. They can't see that face, Martin. I think it's actually hard light. I think that's the deal.
I'm just gonna say complete bollocks.
Complete bollocks, right? There's an X gone beside that. I think that says life forms.
Well, maybe, like, we're talking about terraforming the moon, then, maybe? So, if you're at the point of terraforming moons, They genuinely don't have their own atmosphere.
Like the new Superman movie. Yeah. Absolute scutter. Absolute fucking scutter.
Well, Al was telling me to go watch it, that I might enjoy it.
There's something wrong with Al. He's probably... I don't know whether Al actually listens to this. He looks giving out about it already, but I don't know whether he listens to it. You will not enjoy it, man. It's fucking bullshit.
Comic book movies are just annoying me now because I know a bit about that. Because I read comics, I'm like, ah, you
fucked it up. I was talking to a randomer yesterday, actually. A random kind of pisshead dude was in the pub. He was a nice enough fella. I was talking about comic book movies yesterday. And I've said this on multiple occasions before. The fucking problem is that you take something like Superman. Superman has, like, fucking the guts of 100 years worth of backstory and character development. And they take the basic outline shell of this fucking character and they just fill it full of bollocks. So they've done the same with Wolverine, they've done the same with like X-Men to a degree. I mean, they're recognisable characters, they've got the same rough powers as the fucking characters do in the comic books, but they fuck with the backstory so much that it just loses all integrity. You're talking about stories that have been refined by multiple writers over multiple generations and multiple mediums, and then they turn around and make a movie of it. They got Wolverine, yeah, he's like an anti-hero baddie, he's got claws, he can't be killed, have him fight ninjas. And there's a fucking, now this new one, which I'm not going to watch, it's like 2 hours of fucking Wolverine crying about fucking, I'm so old, I've seen everybody die. And then this dude comes around and goes, okay, I'll make you human again. And then, whatever, some bullshit happens where he has to protect somebody, so he has to get his powers back and fight some fucking samurais and some ninjas, dead end. Like, not, that doesn't sound fucking interesting to me. Doesn't sound interesting to me. If they were to go back, I know Wolverine Origins was absolute bullshit. If they went back and they done some of the original kind of Weapon X story arcs, then they're fantastic. You know what I mean? They're really good. We've got a whole original Wolverine origin story now. The one about the fucking Irish immigrant families going to fucking Canada. You've got the whole thing worked out. It's ready there to be made into a movie, or at least the basics of a movie. And they made a bollocks of it. But anyway. Going back to science fiction. So we're saying the lightsaber's bollocks. The Death Star could probably be done. And whatever this box is about life forms.
Maybe it was about, we're talking about terraforming planets.
Maybe,
at the,
I don't know.
At the point of terraforming planets, building your own mightn't be that. Your own space platform mightn't be that bad.
I suppose. That definitely looks like a life to me, though. I don't know what this is. It could be life form. I don't know why I wrote down life forms. They're talking about maybe fucking interspecies relations between different fucking planets in Star Wars. One of my big things with Star Wars is that it's almost too big, and that fucking every second character that pops on the screen is like a different race. That always kind of got me weak. Was there any interspecies couples in Star Wars? There wasn't really, was there?
No,
they were a little bit bigoted like that.
Yeah.
There probably will be in the new one.
Yeah.
Maybe half Wookiee, half fucking human or something. Yeah.
Sorry. It's like a wolf child.
Oh yeah. I'd be into that. Fucking the cantina fucking band, that big blue cunt on the drums or whatever he had, him, fucking half Ewok, half him, that'd be amazing. We're going to play another song, so we're really out of time. We're going to play one more song and then we're back with the main kind of meat of the show. And the next song is, I'm going to play that Brief song, I said. It's a song called Destroy the USA by the Briefs, and we'll be back in a minute.
Destroy the USA, hey, hey! Just start it anyway, okay!
That was The Briefs with Destroy the USA. It's off an album, I think it's called Sex Objects, I can't remember, I never wrote it down, but that's the first thing popping into my head. I don't know whether that's perverted or whether that's the actual name of the album, but anyway, this is the kind of cock and balls of the show. Martin's going to roughly explain, very very roughly, how you could build a Ghostbuster style proton pack. Right, Martin, explain.
Alright, well the first thing the easy way to get protons is to ionize hydrogen.
Yep.
So what you need is a source of hydrogen. So probably you have to carry around a big compressed gas cylinder on your back. That's going to be heavy. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
Then what you could do is you could pass that hydrogen through a thin metal, like a metal tube that's like made out of tungsten, because you have to heat it up to about 1700 degrees Celsius. So tungsten is the only thing that will melt.
Mm.
So if you carry around this glow, then you pass that in, that'll take the molecular hydrogen. So hydrogen is like, it likes hanging around with another hydrogen atom. You pass that, then that'll break that into like atomic hydrogen. So you've like just like hydrogen on its own. And then you pass that into a chamber. You're probably going to use a beefed up ion gun. So you're just probably going to use a magnetic field to, and then high electron fields, high electric fields to rip the ions off the hydrogen. So then you get a proton, then you put a huge voltage to it, and that'll accelerate the protons out. And then you getting it to like, if it's formed on your back,
yeah,
and then getting it to the neutrino bond, yeah, be tricky. But if you just pass like,
Like a fucking one of those leaf blowers where it's, yeah, like directly connected straight out. That's not malleable, so you can't move it.
Yeah, but if you were to, you might have to do some weird magnet thing.
Yeah,
and then they'll be heavy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know in the movie they explained that they're heavy as fuck, but I mean, but we're dealing with like,
I'd say the biggest one would be your power source to heat up that tube to like red hot, mm-hmm, and then, but you could do it the way CERN does it.
Which way do CERN do it?
They put hydrogen into like a metal cylinder and use ridiculous electric fields to like rip the hydrogen apart and ionize it. Mm. And then they pass like 90,000 volts just to start it off.
Really?
So that's,
so essentially,
power source is probably the heaviest thing.
Yeah, your power source is the bad boy, but you're using electricity to propel it.
Yeah.
Out. Is that what I'm getting,
yeah,
from it?
You need electric fields, you need like high,
yeah,
voltages. Might need that much current, so the battery might last a good bit.
Yeah.
If you use battery, if you use nuclear reactor,
yeah,
the lead shielding will probably break your spine.
Yeah.
You've seen how heavy that doorstop was.
Yeah, we found a lead brick doorstop in one of the labs here, and I thought it'd be fun to pick it up. It weighs a fucking ton. It was unbelievable. Apparently, yeah. Also, you're saying you work with platinum. Platinum's expensive, isn't
platinum
it?
Platinum is expensive as fuck.
Any line around? No?
No.
Oh, this is bullshit. I shaved my balls for this. This is nonsense. I want some fucking platinum, man. But anyway, thank you.
I might have some titanium for you, guys.
Oh, I like titanium as well. I don't even know what the fuck titanium is. I do, that's a lie. Bang, yeah, that's it. I think we're done. We're coming up on 1 hour 5 minutes, which is officially the longest show that we've done. Thank you, Martin.
Don't worry about it, Gary.
Thank you, Trinity, for not knowing that we're here. And let me wander around taking photos of fucking mad shit. I didn't steal anything, Trinity. I didn't take anything. I just took some photos. But that's it. We're going to leave it with one song. And that song is a band called Control. And the song is called Stand Up. Before you control, I like a street punk slash oi punk fucking nonsense band from England, and they're fucking really good. But this song is called Stand Up and Fight, and thanks to Martin, and hopefully you'll be listening to this show on Friday. If not, you'll be listening to it on Wednesday. Now, we might be making the move to a weekly show instead of doing two a week, just because at the moment the time ain't there. But stay tuned. Enemyradio.eu is the website address. Or else you can go to www.radioactiveinternational.com or .org, whichever you want. The email address is enemyradio@radioactiveinternational.com, or you can go to mahbrain@gmail.com and get me directly on there either. But either way, fucking feel free to comment, throw stuff up there, share it out, and hopefully we'll do this again in a couple of weeks and do some more science. If you have any ideas for Martin, for movies and TV shows and stuff like that, to kind of pick apart and give us the science aspect of it, then certainly send them in or comment on the page. And thank you very much. Here is Control with Stand Up and Fight, and I'll talk to you in a week. See you after.
Bye.